Well, April is the month of the military child, and with the largest National Guard deployment since World War II, I think it's a good time to get an update on what is called Operation Military Kids. It's a fairly recent effort from Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development to provide support to the children and youth of National Guard and Reserve personnel who are deployed as part of the War on Terrorism efforts. And so really pleased today to have an update from Sue Curtis, who is Professor of 4-H Youth Development and Project Director for Operation Military Kids with UW-Platteville and UW Extension, and Laura Peterson, who is the Assistant Project Director and also Director of the 4-H Military Club Partnership in Wisconsin and with UW Extension. So, Sue, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for hosting us again.
Yeah, and Laura, great to have you here as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Well, let's get a little background first. This is kind of I talked about World War II in my little introduction there, and this war, I think, is quite a bit different in terms of the personnel involved between World War II and what we have now. Am I correct in that, Sue?
We have a lot of servicemen and women that are involved in this particular war with the National Guard and the reservists. And I think in past wars, a lot of times there were members that were drafted right out of high school. They may not have had spouses and children, so they were younger and went right away. This particular war is very different. Some of our National Guard service member and some of our reservist service member are on their third deployments, either to Iraq or Afghanistan or other places in the world, and so that really takes a toll on the family that's left behind, the children and the spouse that could be without that person for 14 months, and that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. And then could be redeployed.
Correct.
Again for another 14 months, and then maybe again for another.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we do focus on the service member, but we don't often think about the child that's without the parent for the birthdays and all of the school event and the significant things in their lives during that 14 months. And, of course, the other spouse that's alone with the kids for all of that time in the 14 months. And for both of them and all of the family, the stress of worrying every day about whether that service member is safe. That's a huge piece and takes a big toll on everyone.
And Laura, this is a nationwide initiative, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. It is a nationwide initiative. And Wisconsin actually joined the initiative in October of 2007. So we're a year and a half or so into our participation in it, and really have made some great strides in bringing partners on board. Part of our goal is to have a number of partners across the state who are invested in supporting these children and families as well, and getting the word out about the program and being able to share what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking partners, what kinds of partners are we talking about here?
Well, we have a number of partners, folks ranging from the Department of Public Instruction to the National Guard and Active Army, Boys and Girls Club of America, American Legion. Some partners are on the national level, so there's kind of a set expectation that folks will be connected in some way, and then some are very state-specific. And so for us here in Wisconsin, we've actually had the opportunity to build a really strong partnership with the Department of Public Instruction and be able to work on some specific projects with them, whereas other states may have not quite as strong a partnership with their Department of Public Instruction, but that may be kind of...
Well, it'd be an advantage for our kids,
yeah.
I would certainly think so.
And the Wisconsin School Board Association has also been a very strong partner and a unique one here in Wisconsin.
I would think, you know, and I could envision kids having trouble, you know, maybe being good students and then dad or mom goes off and then they start having trouble in school, or could.
And that's actually been documented. There is some research in terms of the impact that a deployment has on children, and there is research to indicate that children can suffer a loss in grades. Their grades can go down. Sometimes they will quit their extracurricular activities because it's more of a challenge, first of all, for the parent to get them there. And they're just worried and nervous about all the things that are happening. And so day-to-day life changes significantly for them.
You know, I want to give the phone number to get people a chance to join in. Maybe you've had some involvement with Operation Military Kids in one way or another, or maybe you have some questions about how to get involved or comments in general about the program. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call, or you can also email us as well, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Well, maybe you can talk a little bit about the kinds of programs or things that you work on with the kids.
One of the things that's different this year from last year is a cooperation with the Department of Public Instruction to create a graphic novel. And this particular program is designed particularly for middle school children, although it can be used for a little older children as well. A graphic novel is a little bit like a comic book in appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular one that we created and worked on, it follows four families through the stages of deployment and the ups and downs that go with those stages. And then there are eight lessons that go along with the graphic novel. So a classroom teacher or a guidance counselor could actually do lessons with the kids that would help them to understand what a child that has a deployment in their family might be experiencing. So it would help them be more supportive and understand maybe some of the stresses and strains that would go along with it. And I think create some sensitivity, because a lot of times we say things and don't realize how that might feel to a family member who has a person in Afghanistan or Iraq, and we just lack sensitivity sometimes in the comments that we might make.
Yeah. Can you think of an example of an insensitive that comment that might pop out of somebody's mouth, Laura?
Well, I know a youth that was actually interviewed for another project that we're working on was talking about that a teacher made a comment about just something that had really happened on the news that they had heard about someone being killed, unfortunately, by a roadside explosive device. And really the conversation within the class kind of spiraled into a deeper political conversation. And this youth who had a family member deployed didn't really say a whole lot during the conversation and during this later time was talking about how that really just made them very sad, and it felt very hurtful in that people were expressing, their maybe very strong opinion towards the war, and this student trying to grapple with the fact that their parent was really there working and doing their job.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably one stage. You mentioned four stages. One stage, obviously, is when the parent is gone. But there are four stages. Did you say four?
Three, actually.
I thought you said four, and I was trying to decide where would that fourth stage be? I could think of three stages, but I couldn't think of four stages. So,
well, I guess you could possibly consider a fourth stage of the process of redeployment, as Sue was mentioning before. If a family is going to experience a deployment again,
that would be a fourth stage.
Right. You've got your pre-deployment when you're preparing for someone to go, of course, deployment while the person is gone, and then your post-deployment or reintegration. And then if that cycle is going to start all over again, you kind of have that mid-zone between reintegration and pre-deployment where families are just kind of in the midst of the process.
And actually, families do know that it's a reality that their loved one could be deployed a second time. It is a reality. Like right now, as we said, some have gone two and three times. And so they actually do worry about it again when the loved one's back.
Well, let's talk about some more of the activities. So there are things that you're working with the Department of Public Instruction on. So there's, I assume, getting to teachers and principals and so forth and letting them know. I would expect that even for some teachers, maybe they don't even know that they have a child whose parent is deployed.
That's very true. We actually just got some final information about maybe 2 months ago that every county in the state of Wisconsin has youth in it connected to a military family. Now, our smallest number are 4, but there are many other counties that have many more than that. And definitely, as Sue mentioned, with folks being in the National Guard and Reserves, their day-to-day life doesn't necessarily involve the military very often. So people in their communities may not have any idea that they drill, 2 hours away. And so when that person is gone, it really affects the family, but other folks in the community may have no idea that there's something going on. So it's a big part of what we're doing to try to educate teachers, counselors, administrators, that there is this possibility that children in their school could use some extra support, and what some of the behaviors or changes that they might be seeing in students are could potentially be connected to a deployment within their family.
The other thing is that young people aren't always very forthcoming about the fact that they have a parent that's deployed. We might think that it's something that they would openly talk about, but we learn, especially with later middle school and teenagers, that they may not share that right away because there is so much negative comments and things that impact them. They're not as likely to tell a classroom teacher or to be telling everyone that they have a parent that's over there. So just because the person, young person, hasn't told you doesn't mean that it's not the case. So we'll have a lot of school districts that say, well, I don't think we have anyone that's impacted by this. They do. They just don't know it.
Mm. Well, we've been talking most about this middle stage when they've been gone, but is that where you put most of your emphasis, or do we try and do some things ahead of time too? Or?
I would say we attempt to equally distribute the attention to all of the components of deployment. And part of it is in that pre-deployment stage before someone goes, getting families and educators the information that they need to kind of be preventative or planning for the remaining stages and ways to best handle kind of the integration into having someone gone. But of course, while someone is gone is often when you are going to see the largest impact, because that's the longest time frame typically, but the reintegration or kind of post-deployment when folks are coming back is often thought of as, just kind of, well, everything is back to normal, things are fantastic, and of course everyone is happy that that service member has returned home. But it can also provide some of the biggest challenges in that families have to really renegotiate everything that they do to reintegrate that person who's been gone back into their life, and then also to make sure they're sharing all of those important events and activities that have been going on and kind of getting everybody back on an equal playing field.
And there are, I'm sure, some specifics about that we can talk about a bit more, too, as we move along here and visit with Sue Curtis and Laura Peterson, who are with 4-H and Youth Development and also with Operation Military Kids. It's a great effort to from Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development to provide support to the children and the youth of National Guard and Reserve personnel who are deployed. As many of them, obviously, as we speak. If you have some questions or comments, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about Operation Military Kids today with Sue Curtis and Laura Peterson from 4-H Youth Development and with the Operation Military Kids program here in Wisconsin. It's a nationwide effort, but we're doing a lot of cool things here, I think, in the state to help our children and spouses of those military folks who are now out and fighting. If you'd like to join in, maybe have a question or comment, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. I'm recalling back from my own 4-H days, Upham Woods, which was a great camp for 4-H kids. And my understanding is that we have some camps that we're setting up for children as part of Operation Military Kids. Is that correct, Sue?
We're really excited this year that a component of our grant allows us to have two camps for military children in the state. The first one is for 3rd to 5th graders, and that's August 23rd through the 25th. We'll have spots for about 100 kids in that particular camp. And then we have a 6th to ninth grade camp August 26th through the 29th. And as you said, those camps will be held at Upham Woods, which is just a wonderful facility. And we're very excited. We could offer this to the kids for $25. That's just basically a registration fee and covers T-shirts for the camp. But we will hope us. We're going to have a focus for the kids to actually talk about how it impacts them to having a parent deployed. And in addition to that, they'll have an opportunity to experience all the fun things that kids normally do at camp: the swimming, the kayaking, the canoeing, and the wonderful facilities that they have at Upham Woods. So this is something new we've not been able to do in the past. And we should be able to reach about 200 kids through the two camps. We also have an opportunity for older youth to serve as counselors for those two camps. Mm-mm. So if you're a high school student and maybe you've had some experience, maybe you've had a parent deployed yourself, and you'd like to give back and help the younger kids, we have opportunities to recruit counselors to work with the kids during these two particular camps.
So now that I have this straight, it's third through fifth graders for the one camp, which is August 23rd through the 25th, and then sixth through ninth graders, August 26th through the 29th?
That's correct. And then high school students could be involved as counselors. So if we're looking at 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds that would like to become involved, we have slots for them as well.
And now how do people, parents or whatever, how do they, or grandparents even, how do they find out more information or get signed up for that, Laura?
People can find information at our website, which it's kind of a long web address. So if folks want to go to a search engine and just type in Wisconsin OMK or Wisconsin Operation Military Kids, they'll find it. They can also go to the National OMK website and find it, which again, any search engine will get you there if you type in OMK or Operation Military Kids. But there's a brochure folks can look at. There's a registration form. There's a counselor recruitment page with more information about what is involved in being a counselor, and then a counselor application that folks can fill out as well. And all the information about where to send it and all of that is right online. And we do have a registration deadline of July 10th for folks, so a month and a half out or so from that and from the camp, so we can have our final numbers.
But there are still
plenty of
spaces.
Plenty of spaces. We're definitely inviting folks to find out more and get involved and attend camp.
What about, you know, somebody, let's say, I don't know, let's say from Superior, it's a long drive to the Dells. Is there any way for transportation to be provided, or is that not an issue?
One of the things that we've been talking about is for families that have a long commute, we'll try to have families work together. We'll try to share contact information so that we can do some ride sharing and carpooling. But there's also a possibility that the American Legion or the Legion Auxiliary might be able to get involved and provide some support for families in their region if transportation becomes an issue for a parent.
So August 23rd through the 25th for third to fifth graders and third graders to fifth graders, and August 26th to the 29th for sixth to ninth graders at Camp Upham Woods. It's a great facility, and it sounds like a wonderful program. And again, if you just go to Wisconsin Operation Military Kids, go online if you can. If you don't have access, go to the local library, and I'm sure you're going to be able to get access there to get signed up for it. How does how much do you get involved, or I'm wondering about this whole business relating to volunteers and helpers and so forth. What does it take to at these various stages to get involvement? Do we need involvement from other people or not, Sue?
We definitely need volunteers. As a rule, we get involved in the three stages of deployment, as we said, there's events associated with all of those. And so if it's a mobilization briefing, we may be invited to come in. The parents are actually attending meetings to learn about things that they need to prepare for the deployment. And then we would work with the children. And during that event, that might be a morning, it might be an all-day event. And sometimes, depending on the case, a reintegration event that we were recently invited to was a four-day event. And so under those particular situations, we really need volunteers. So American Legion members, Legion volunteers, auxiliary members, VFWs, any kinds of community organizations that have adults that would be willing to come in and help with the kids. We can always use volunteers for those kinds of events. And it doesn't always have to be hands-on kinds of things as well. We also have Legion members and VFW members and auxiliary members that have been wonderful in creating blankets, writing letters for the kids for our Hero Pack program, or recruiting things to be placed, generating support for items to be placed in the Hero Packs for the kids. So there's all kinds of ways that volunteers can become involved.
And not only do we have a lot of adult volunteers who assist in the things that Sue mentioned, but we have a number of older youth volunteers who help at these events that really are doing kind of that hands-on, really interactive component that gets the kids connected and involved and lets them have an opportunity to talk about some of the things they're experiencing and just have fun with other kids who are in similar situations, because with the National Guard and Reserve folks being so spread across our state, that's one of the challenges that we're able to help address, is getting kids together and doing some of those fun activities and then also some of those things to help them process their experience.
Yeah, I assume that's it's quite a bit different from regular military. You're right, as you talk about geographically, there's not whole groups of people that are necessarily in the same spot.
They are geographically dispersed, and that's the unique part of Operation Military Kids, is we do try to reach out to those kids because they really do need to spend time and be able to interact with kids who walk in their shoes. And so at these events, part of the time we spend time doing activities that will help the kids do that. They create personal yellow pages, for example, and that's just an opportunity to share emails and other types of contact information. So if they're having a bad day or need to reach out to someone, they might have the email of someone that they could email and talk mm-hmm. about how it's feeling today, or someone at least that can empathize or know what it's like to walk in their shoes. And that may not be somebody next door, so at least at these events they get a chance to rub shoulders with other kids who are like them.
Yeah. You mentioned Hero Packs, and we haven't talked about those directly much. What are those Hero Packs and what's involved with those?
Well, Hero Packs are backpacks that are filled with fun items that are often donated, and that can range from a storybook to a pen to a disposable camera. But a major component of the Hero Pack is a handwritten note that thanks the child for the sacrifice that they're making while their parent is deployed. And so those get given out at various events, whether it's a mobilization or an event while a parent is actually deployed. But they go to school-aged children, and basically, again, just a very physical kind of reminder and thanks for the sacrifice that they make while their parent is deployed or deploying.
Be fun to hear from people who might have been part of this experience in one way or another, either as having a spouse deployed or a parent deployed, or maybe on the grandfather, grandmother type folks, too, who might have been involved in it. Give us a call with your comment or question at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. We talked a little, sort of vaguely, I think, in a way, about the some of the issues about that third stage of the effort when the parent comes back. And what are the major issues that come to the fore when a parent returns, which is happy, but then there can be some issues that develop too?
Well, the parent has been in a different place for 14 months, and some major stresses that go along with that, and just in terms of coming home and dealing with the realities that of the things that they saw and experienced while they were in Iraq or Afghanistan. So that's hard for the parent who returns, is they're often feeling a lot of stress and some depression and issues that are related to their service. In addition, the family's not the same. A lot of things happen in 4 months and in 14 months with a family. The responsibilities have been redistributed. Kids have grown up a little, and everybody functions in a little different manner. And so then trying to merge everything back together again can present all kinds of challenges. And so for the kids, I think they may have redistributed some of the responsibilities. They may be doing some things in a different way than they did in the past. And then for the parent who was gone, they have to re-catch up on everything that happened. And also, I think, just be dealing with the realities of the stress that they bring home with them. So it can be a really challenging time. In fact, many families say it's one of the most stressful. So for kids, I think it's really important to have a support network at that time, to have someone that they can talk to share their experiences with, and have someone that's walked in their shoes.
I'm thinking about my own daughter in 14 months. I'm thinking back to 14 months ago versus today. Big changes can happen in a young child in 14 months.
Yeah, and you really have to think about the differences in kind of age categories. So when you think about your youngest age children from infant to maybe five or so are going to have a very different interaction with that parent when they come home. They very well may not even recognize that parent if they were born while the parent was gone or very young when that parent had to leave. There's definitely some adjustment happening there with getting to know the parent and knowing the schedules and the feedings and all of those things that go along with our youngest age children. And then you think about grade school kids and how many things go on in a year of a grade school child's life, whether it's getting A's on spelling tests or being on the basketball team or birthdays. And, you know, as Sue said, all of those new routines and responsibilities at home that kids take on. And of course, high school age students are going through a lot of changes and looking to their future. And that's a lot to catch up on for a parent and for a family as well, to kind of get back on track and have everybody looking in the same direction again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have some callers online, so we'll take some calls. If you'd like to join in yourself, we still have some open lines at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And let's go to Josh in Toma. Josh, hi, thank you very much for calling.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I am a husband of a wife that's going to be deploying here in May. And I guess I was just curious if there's any support for husbands of wives that are in the military, because I feel like it's more focused towards wives of husbands that are in the military.
Yeah.
And haven't found much.
Do you have children, by the way?
Yeah, we do.
Well, the Operation Military Kids program definitely doesn't discriminate moms and dads. We welcome any family, no matter who is deploying. I will say that much of the experience that I've had in programming has been with moms who are here and dads who have deployed, but definitely as well with moms who have deployed and dads who are here. We typically do programming very kid-focused, and so I guess something specific for dads, we really haven't worked specifically on that, but I do know that the programs that I've been engaged in with both the active Army and the National Guard in terms of some of their family support mechanisms, to my knowledge anyway, have been designed for both the mom or the dad who is here at home.
Sue, comment from you?
We have had actually some children. I was thinking we were just involved in National Guard Family Weekend, and in that case there were some children that were there that actually had a mom deployed as well. So I think it's more common now that we have moms deployed as well.
Well, now where would Josh go then if he wanted to find out some more?
Well, if he specifically wants to learn more about Operation Military Kids, again, can go to his search engine and look up Wisconsin Operation Military Kids. Otherwise, whatever branch of service his wife is a part of should have a child and youth services program or a family readiness component that would be able to connect him with the resources that he's looking for. And being in Toma, I'm wondering if he might be connected to Fort McCoy, and they have a Army Community Services Department that provides a lot of resources, as well as a child, youth, and school services department that does quite a bit, all connected to their morale, welfare, and Resources, I think. Morale, welfare, and recreation.
Recreation.
Yeah. Sorry.
It would be Fort McCoy. And the other question I had is if you have any suggestions for keeping, we're going to do the webcams and that kind of thing, but for keeping the connection strong with the kids.
Yeah.
During the deployment.
Yeah.
We do two things, activities with the kids when we have them for our weekends or our day-long activities. We do memory boxes and journaling if they're old enough to write. If they're too little to write, then the memory box is always a good thing. And pick a box and decorate it. And then anytime anything significant happens, or maybe not, doesn't have to be really big events, maybe just some memories that you want to share, then you put a little something in there that reminds you of that event so that when mom returns, you have the opportunity to share that with her. And we try to have the kids do that several times a week, is to put things in the memory box so that that becomes a nice resource when mom returns to revisit all of those things that happened in that 14 months.
Yeah,
that's good idea.
All right, Josh, I hope you get involved with your children with Operation Military Kids.
And, I will.
And good luck.
Yeah, thank you for your sacrifice, Josh.
Thank you very much. Chris in Appleton will give you a chance now. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I wanted to say thank you and bless you to your guests. I'm a veteran who was in Iraq from 05 to 06, and I had three young children. And the support I got from my community, from my church, from various organizations, for my kids is overwhelming and wonderful, and it's great to see that you guys are kind of organizing all of this in a sense that people can find these things easier. My wife had some troubles at that time looking for different, well, not much trouble. The church was wonderful, but, you know, looking at different groups that helped, you know, help my kids with, you know, hearing difficulties or hearing aids and stuff like that, and that was great. And the question I had really was answered in the last, but the Googling Operation Military Links. And lastly, I'd say to your listeners is a donate a computer. If you can donate a computer or a laptop, that'd be great, because the online conversations I had with my kids while I was gone was wonderful.
Chris, I thank you very much for calling. Sue, a comment from you?
Oh, I think the computer is a really wonderful resource, and that's a great suggestion that if you have one that you can share it or that you want to give away, there's probably a deployed family that could use it if they don't have one. A lot of things, as we even mentioned, the Yellow Pages we do with the kids is so that they can email one another, because, as we said, they're dispersed, and so it allows them an opportunity to build a support network that way, and it is a way that they can communicate with a parent that's gone.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's turn to Karen in Arcadia. Karen, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I came in a little late on the conversation, but I heard you talking about the Hero Packs.
Yeah.
And I would be interested in getting involved, and I just wanted the information on who to contact. We have our local Charlie Company is serving currently, so...
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the website, again, you can use whatever search engine you'd like and put in Wisconsin Operation Military Kids. That will take you to our website. And then there's contact information on there for the Hero Packs. Usually I'm the person, there's a form that gets filled out, and then I coordinate with you a pickup date for the Hero Packs. We get them ready, and we usually just ask you number of kids, the ages, because there's younger and older Hero Packs, and we set up a time that we can get those distributed to you. Sometimes we work with the American Legion or the Legion Auxiliary in your community to help with that as well. But the contact information is on the website.
So, Karen, and sounds like, Karen, you are wanting to donate time or resources to this effort. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the Hero Packs. I think that'd be a great idea to support the children.
So if you'd actually like to donate items, and that's another part of the program is, for example, right now I know we have a middle school in Platteville that the schools are actually, the children are filling packs for middle school kids, other middle school kids. And the kinds of things that we typically put in, Hero Packs, school supplies, useful things, as well as supportive fun things for the little kids, stuffed toys often go in, or journals that they can write in, things that scrapbooks that would help them preserve memories, disposable cameras, things like that. So any of those items can be donated, and again, the contact information is on the website. Eventually, they'll come to Platteville. We have college students that help pack those and keep them ready so that when we have a request for a unit that wants them, we get those together.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. So, events you've got, have you got some weekend events that are coming up, or are those...
Well, we have a couple of weekend events that we are supporting that are through actually the National Guard Air Unit. And so we're going to be at a few events doing some youth activities. And then in May, we actually have an opportunity to be on Wisconsin Public Television on the show called Teen Connection. We worked to recruit three youth who have been a part of a family who's had a military deployment, and they're going to be sharing some of their stories. There was also some footage taped at a recent event that we were at with the National Guard Family Weekend down here in Madison. So we're excited that some youth will be sharing their story directly, and I will also be a part of the show to talk a little bit about Operation Military Kids and what some of the resources are out there, and we're excited about that.
So that's on Wisconsin Public Television, so that'll be airing across the state.
Yep, on May 12th, actually, at 7 p.m.
May 12th at 7 p.m. And just one, we've mentioned it several times, but we've got the camp coming up in August 23rd to the 25th for 3rd through 5th graders at Upham Woods. Even if you live a long ways away, we can probably figure out a way to get your child there. August 26th through the 29th, 6th through 9th graders will have a chance to spend some time with kids just like them who have parents involved in overseas operations. And so it'll be a fun time. It's only $25, which is pretty reasonable, I think, for 23rd, 24th, 25th, that's 3 days. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal, and Upham Woods is a wonderful, wonderful facility. But go online for more information, and probably the easiest is to go to Wisconsin Operation Military Kids. Mm-hmm. Is that the best way to do it?
That's the best way to do it.
Well, it's a great pleasure, Sue and Laura. Thank you both so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Sue Curtis is a professor of 4-H Youth Development and Operation Military Kids Project Director with UW-Platteville and University of Wisconsin Extension. Laura Patterson is the Assistant Project Director for OMK and Director of the 4-H Military Club Partnership in Wisconsin and with UW Extension. Certainly a worthy project, and I hope you'll go online and take a look at what they're offering and maybe how you can get involved in one way or another. Appreciate them being with us. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the science of food safety with a couple of guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.